I'm not a doom and gloom pastor, but I just want to say what's on my heart this morning. You know, Jesus is coming back. And you got to be ready. And if you've got unfinished business with him, don't think that, well, I've got tomorrow to settle that, or, you know, I've got this thing over here and I'll just let this ride. I feel very, very strongly to just say from the pulpit, he is coming back, and tomorrow is not promised to anybody. So get your stuff in order. Get your life in order. Get your offenses in order. The devil would love to divide and to cause offenses, but we know that God is the God of mending every single thing. And so I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, right now I proclaim, God, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, God, I ask that you would help us to be ready. God, every single thing, Lord, that would hold us back and weigh us down, God, I ask that you would free us of those things. Lord, I ask right now, God, that you would stir every heart, God, every backslidden person, Lord, that belongs to Parish Christian Center, to this body. God, I ask that you would stir them up right now. God, I ask for conviction to fall where it needs to fall. God, for amending to go where it needs to go. Lord, for every person suffering an addiction, God, I ask that you would breathe recovery, God, right into their soul, Lord, where they need it most. Lord, for every person, every family in here, and they say, God, we don't have enough finances to even make it through the week. God, I ask you right now for the extra. Lord, you said in your word that you would help us. And so, God, I thank you that you're helping people all over the place. Lord, for every person dealing with a health issue, God, I call them healed right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I am happy to be in God's house. And you know, services like this used to bother me when there was half the church missing. They used to really bother me, Casey. And you know what? They don't really bother me anymore because everybody deserves to go on a vacation. People deserve to have fun. And I'm glad when they get to go. And I feel like I'm sitting around the dinner table with the fam today. So I'm not a bit messed up about it. The only thing is about 10 minutes before the service started, my ear did this weird thing where I can't hear out of one ear, but I can hear out of the other. So if I sound really loud, it's because I cannot hear a darn thing about what myself is, how loud I am and how I'm not loud. So if I'm too loud, you're just going to have to get over it because I cannot hear myself. But I want to minister to you this week. And the title of this message is Hold On. Hold on. You know, there is something that I have been praying about for about 7.5 months. And I was really bothered over it. And I would pray over it several times a week. And I would just say, Lord, if I've done anything, God, to make this come about, Lord, show it to me so I can make it right. And I just never felt like that I had done anything, but I was still very bothered over it. And I kept praying and I kept praying. And as I would see things that would remind me of the issue, I would just cover it in prayer. And, you know, sometimes we rack our brains on, well, God, what more can I do? And I want to tell you something. Go back to the Word. The Word of God says, when you've done everything that you can, then just stand. So you have two options. You look and you say, is there anything else, Lord, that I can do? And if there's not, then you just stand there and you wait. You wait for God. And so I just waited for about 7.5 months. And finally, yesterday, it was just like in a day, it was over. That answer to that prayer. And it left me with a sense that, you know what, Kelly? There's just times where you're going to pray and you're going to pray and you're going to pray. And there's not going to be a lot that you feel like is going on. But that doesn't mean God didn't hear you. That means it's going to take a little bit. And I'm not the most patient person. I don't even like to think about having to wait in a line to get food or anything. If I think I'm going to have to wait, I just ain't going. I just don't like it. I don't like to be held up. We can't be like that. When we get that way in our prayer life, we start trying to help God with things. And stuff gets messed up. So go with me now to Daniel chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 1 through 14. And it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. And at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. You know, there's times where God will show you something, and it's not all happy things. There's times where God will show people something, and it's some things to come, and it may cause you sadness. It may cause you grief. But you know what? God will still be with you. And Daniel, he said, I mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. And on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face like lightning, his eyes like the flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw this vision. The men with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision, and I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, and my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed. I want to tell you something. God has put his hand over your life. And if I could leave you with something this morning, don't y'all get excited. I'm just getting started. But hallelujah. If you don't hear anything I say, I want you to know that you're highly esteemed. And what does that mean? God thinks a lot of you. He does. And there's something about waiting for a prayer that makes us feel like God has forgotten about us. Well, he hasn't. Not every time you pray a prayer is he going to just make it happen. Sometimes you're going to have to wait. Sometimes you're waiting because other people are involved and he's got to get them in order. Sometimes you're waiting because it's just not time. Sometimes you're waiting because God wants to teach you how to have more faith. But no matter why you're waiting, you're still waiting. And when you're waiting, here's a problem that I see with people. You see it with baby Christians, but we expect it out of them. The problem is when people have been saved 30, 40, 50 years, and they're still playing preschool games with God. And to be very honest with you, I have been in the ministry my entire life. I see it more in people that claim to be saved for 30, 40, 50 years. I see more nonsense out of those people than I do baby Christians. I think people get, and they forgot where they came from. They forgot where God took them out of. They forgot all the things that God did for them. And we never forget. But there's a problem in your salvation when every time you're waiting, you start doubting. That's a problem. And I urge you to not be that type of a Christian. And I tell you this, if that's who you are, work on it. Work on it. If every time you're praying and believing God for something, and then you just start doubting him every single time, you got some problems in your life. You've got to get to that point that you know and you can renew your mind and you can look back and say, you know what, God has never been late for me, not even one time. There's got to be something inside of you that says, you know what, God's not going to bring me this far to let me go now. The problem is when we constantly want to quit, give up, question God, doubt God. So you either are going to be a person like the word describes where you're going to eat the meat of the word or you're going to be drinking a bottle of the milk of the word, and you have to decide which one that you want to be. And that's a decision that only each person can make. And so you're highly, highly favored. You're highly esteemed. God thinks a lot of you. But just because he thinks a lot of you doesn't mean that you're not going to have to wait at times. There's going to be a waiting there. And so it says, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my knees and my hands. And he said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words that I am about to speak to you. Now, I tell you today, every message that I preach, I take you right to the Word. Because I've been raised in the ministry. I know what it's like when people get up. I've heard so many stuff. Anybody that's ever been raised in the ministry, you hear some stuff. You hear all kinds of stuff. And you know what? The problem, Paul, is when people get up and they start preaching things that are not in the Bible. That's a problem for me. Because that's where you get into confusion. And God isn't the author of confusion. So anything I minister here, I'm going to take you to a chapter and I'm going to take you to verse. And I believe wholeheartedly that you can hang on every word of the Bible. Every word. And so when it says, consider carefully the words that I'm about to speak to you. You know, when God speaks to my heart, I don't take it lightly. I really consider what he's saying to me. And here's the thing that I consider the most. If God said it, it doesn't matter if it took 100 years for it to come to pass. He said it. And I'm going to hold on to it. I remember 2 or 3 years ago, Dad and I, we were driving around, and he said something really profound to me. And some things just take a lot to process. I don't know if that's how it is for everybody, but Casey, people will tell me things or I'll see something, and I'll just take my time processing what they've said, what I think, because in the past, I have jumped to conclusions, and that has been an enemy of mine, that way of behaving. And we were driving around, and he said, Kelly, I don't even know what we were praying for, but we were driving around town and we were praying all over the city of Paris. And he said, you know, even if I'm not here to see this come about, it's on the way. And I've already seen it. Don't ever think that I don't know, because I've already seen it, even if I'm not here. And so when God puts something inside of you, it's going to surely come to pass. Surely. And it says here, consider carefully the words that I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. And then he continued, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. That phrase is in the Bible countless times. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The world is full of afraid Christians. God's telling you today, don't live in fear. Do not be afraid. And it says, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. In another translation, it says, from the very first day that you said this prayer, it was heard. The very first day. Since the very first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. I wanted to preach something else, and I've learned that I just will preach what God tells me to. So as few people as there are here today, somebody needs to hear this. God heard you from the very first day that you prayed that prayer, the very first time that you prayed it. Now, the devil will get you all messed up in your mind, in your soul, in your heart, to make you feel like God has forgotten or that he's not listened or that he didn't hear you. But when you feel like that, you need to go back to the Word, and you need to get to that place where you can find that, you know what, God's not a man that he should lie. And I'll tell you this, people don't mean to let you down, but they will flat out let you down. They don't mean to, but they will. But what I can tell you is that the living God won't. He doesn't have it in him. He said, I will be the one that will never leave you. I will be the one that will never forsake you. See, he's the only one that has that obligation to you. From the very first time that you prayed that prayer, he heard it. I got a piece of mail yesterday, and it was a part of the answer to that prayer. And when I pulled it out of the post office box, God reminded me of this account with Daniel, and he said, Kelly, from the very first day that you heard it, that you said it, I heard it. From the moment that it got in your mind to pray that prayer, I saw it. I was working on it. If there's one thing as the pastor of the church, I'm going to be really real. Look at your salvation. Take a good look at it. And if you're immature, grow up. Because you ain't got time for nonsense. Did anybody realize how fast life goes? How tangible that it really is? Don't be a flake. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Give him everything that you've got. When you have to wait, when you're in a season of waiting, say, Lord, I don't doubt you a bit. God, I'm not doubting you. God, I thank you right now. And I was sitting there and I was meditating yesterday. Because I don't like to just give people messages and not tell them what to do about a situation. I was thinking, well, you know, what do I do? And here's what I do, and I wrote it down. When it's still troubling me, whatever it is, I pray about it. If there's a topic and it's still troubling me, if there's a situation and it's still troubling me, I cover it in prayer. But the moment, Cindy, that I've gotten that peace about it, I enter into a different phase of that prayer, and it's the thanksgiving part. And then I just begin to thank God for the answered prayer. Because the truth of the matter is, just like he told Daniel here, the very day that you said that prayer, I heard it. That moment. And so it says, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. So for 21 days, there was a holdup. Some people have holdups for 21 years. There was a holdup. Now, I don't know what people in here are dealing with, but I've had holdups in my life. And I've had moments where I said, God, where are you at? But Sherry, I don't do that anymore. Because I know darn well where he is. He's with me. If God's with you, who could be against you? There's things right now. I think, God, how are you going to bring that to pass? And then, Rita, I think, you know, I need to enter into a greater level of peace for myself. And I've even stopped asking God, how are you going to bring it to pass? Because really, that's not my concern. I just know that he is. So, Jill, when I'm talking to God about those things now, I just say, God, I don't know how you're going to bring that to pass, but thank you that you are. I'm going to go and have a good 4th of July. Well, God, I'm going to go and eat a hamburger. Glory to God. Lord, I'm going to go and have fun with my children today. God, I'm going to go feed the elderly today. And I'm not going to be pulled off into this doubting you just because I'm having to wait a little bit. Waiting will help you. Without a doubt. And it says, the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. And then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. The first point that I want to tell you, when prayer is taking longer than you'd like, when the answer isn't here yet, God hears you. He hears you. Not only does he hear you, but from the moment you prayed that first prayer, he heard it. Don't get discouraged and don't be tempted to doubt him. He hears you. Go with me now to Habakkuk chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 3. And it says here, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. There is an appointed time for every single thing. I read to you last week in Ecclesiastes where it said there is a time and a season for every activity under the sun on this earth. We go to this part of the word and it says there is an appointed time. Your breakthrough, your answer to your prayer, everything that you've asked God about, there is an appointed time for it. It is already on the books. It has already been recorded. That is the day. But at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So even though it takes a little bit, you need to wait for it. Now the best example that I can give you out of that is Abraham and Sarah. God said, I'm going to give you two old folks a baby. They laughed, yes. And, well, it didn't happen overnight, so they tried to help God. God doesn't need your help. He needs your obedience. Well, they had a son. That was not the son God was talking about. So therein walks confusion. When you're given a promise, don't get impatient. God will do it when it's time for him to do it. Go with me now to 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 10 through 13. And we're looking here at Solomon. Solomon and God were having a conversation. And out of all the things that Solomon could ask of the Lord, he asked him for wisdom. He could have asked him for anything, and he asked for wisdom. So in verse 10, it says, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. You know, there's still nobody on the face of the earth or has walked the face of the earth like Solomon, because he knew what to ask God for. What he was asking God for wasn't something that was self-seeking. He was saying, God, you've given me all that I need. Help me to have wisdom. Verse 13, moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. sometimes you're having to wait because God desires to give you more than what you asked. Sometimes you're having to wait because you've asked God for something, but what you asked Him for was small compared to what He wanted to give to you. And that takes time. God wants to give you more. He wants to give you more. Sometimes we're so small with what we've asked Him for. With the food ministry, I said, Lord, really my heart's desire is to help the single mothers in the church. And that was really it for me, Kayla. I didn't really have any further aspirations as far as the food was concerned. Well, He showed me, and He gave me what I consider my baby, which is the food ministry. But He gave me more than what I asked Him for. Why? Because He saw that more people could be blessed, more people could be touched than just the little sector of people that I had thought about. Because see, all the single mamas up in our church, see, they were already saved. In the pandemic, that's when the food ministry was birthed. So don't tell me that God doesn't birth some of the most beautiful things in the middle of catastrophe, because see, that's what He does best. Right when we think that God can't do nothing because of, well, we're going through this hard time, we're going through this or whatever. No, see, God's not intimidated by a pandemic. He's not intimidated by our last 10 mistakes. He's not intimidated by what we feel like we can't do. So right up in the middle of that, God birthed that. And then He began to minister to me, and He took me outside for several months. And that was so I would stop counting people. Because, Mitzi, God wanted a pastor that stopped counting the people in the pew and started counting souls outside of the church. And God began to put something inside him, and He would say, Kelly, your church is not just the people up in that building. Get the building out of your mind. Amen. Your church is outside. Your church is the entire world that you could reach if you'll just be humble. Amen. If you'll be obedient. Your church is the women in the jail. Your church is the little gas station clerk that you tell hello to. See, God will give you more than what you asked. But if that takes a little longer than what you had envisioned, don't get mad at Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. He wants to give you more than what you asked for. But He does not need your help getting it to you. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 5 and 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. I don't know about y'all, but the older I get, I realize I understand less and less about some things. I used to think I was very good at reading people and dealing with people, and now I'm like, every time I think I cannot be more shocked about people, they go and shock me all over again. And Rocky, here's what I know. I cannot afford to, and y'all cannot afford to, lean on your own understanding. There's going to be things in your prayer life that you may not understand. Well, God, why is it taking so long? I've said before, God, I don't even know what to pray, so the Lord put the prayer in my mouth, and out of my mouth I would pray prayers that I did not even understand. But in due time, at the appointed time, I understood exactly what those prayers meant. Don't lean on your own understanding. When it's taken longer, stop trying to understand why. A lot of times people, and I really hate this, but there's a religious aroma, especially in the South, and it hinders people really, really bad. And here's what religion would say. Something happens to somebody, and somebody will say, well, that happened to them because they did this, this, and this. Let me just tell you something, and I'm going to give you a nugget. When you see something happen to someone else, don't even open your mouth unless you're going to pray for them. Because the second that you put yourself in the seat of judgment, God's going to judge you. You'll put him in a position where he has to judge you. But religious people, I hear it all the time. Well, that person, they did this, this, and this, and that's why that happened to him. No, there's times where stuff happens and stuff just happens. And that's just the bottom line. Don't try to understand certain things. For 7 months, I'd prayed over something. And I kept thinking of everything, Melissa. And I just dissected all of it. And I kept thinking, well, did I do this or did I do that or this or that? You know, sometimes we pick ourselves apart. And yesterday, when the prayer got answered finally after 7 months, I'm a very impatient person. That's like an eternity for me. God said, Kelly, it was none of those things about you. Sometimes we beat ourselves up over something that we didn't even do. So don't try to understand what you can't possibly get. There's some things you don't understand. And you ain't going to. Not in that time frame. It says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. One of my next points is trust and acknowledge. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. A lot of times I get in on the aftermath of a situation and people will say, Pastor Kelly. And I hate loaded questions. Y'all know what a loaded question is? I don't like them questions. Because what it is you're probably going to offend those people. And they've done asked you a dumb question, and now you're going to have to give them the truth, and then they're going to get offended about it because it's a loaded question. And the truth of the matter is, they already know the answer. Pastor Kelly, how has my life gotten so messed up? Why did this happen? Most of the time, I'll say I'm going to give you some Bible verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Pay attention to trusting and acknowledging. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. In all of your ways. In every single way that you have, acknowledge him. There's so many people, it kind of makes me laugh. They'll say, what church do you go to? Well, I go to Parish Christian Center. They have never darkened the door. Some of them, Kayla, I don't even know. If you're not acknowledging him in all of your ways, don't get upset when stuff goes south. The word says, draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. There's something about a good trial or a good waiting period makes people want to split and run. Well, guess what? You walk away from some of your biggest blessings when you do that. If it's worth waiting for, it's worth having. If God's saying it's waiting time, guess what? You got a big blessing coming. You better be waiting. Wait. Wait on God. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. There was a family that came right when I first started pastoring. I loved this little family. Loved them dearly. And I don't think that there was anything that I did not do for them as a pastor. I think I did it all. And Jill, if I was honest, I did too much. And this lady called me one day and she said, Pastor Kelly, I'm just so broken. I've been a terrible mother. I've lost all of my children. And I said, well, so-and-so, God wants to restore your children back to you. Well, the government's got them. Yeah, I don't care what the government told you. God wants to give you back your two littlest ones. If you'll acknowledge him and you'll catch a vision. She goes, well, what kind of vision should I catch? And I said, if I were you, it's about 4 months away from Thanksgiving. I said, I would start imagining having Thanksgiving dinner with those babies in your home. And then I would keep envisioning that. And she'd come to her and her husband. I actually married them. They came and they began to get into the Word. Then I told the husband. He was one of the biggest druggies in the town. I didn't care. You think God cares who the door greeter is? No. You think? No. I said, so-and-so, I want you to be the door greeter. Because see, the Word says it's better to be a door greeter in God's house. So God wants you to be the first thing that people see when they walk into Parish Christian Center. He said, well, I don't feel like I'm fit to do that. Well, look here. God has delivered you from so many things. You're a walking, living miracle. Get up there and greet people and welcome them into the house of the Lord. Well, they did that. Melissa, God gave them those children back. I said, so-and-so, I need you. Oh, Pastor Kelly, I'll do anything for you. Okay. I want you to play Santa Claus for the old folks at the nursing home for our Christmas thing. He got up there and he did Santa Claus. Easter rolled around. Brother so-and-so, Pastor Kelly needs you to do something else. Anything for you, Pastor Kelly. I want you to play the Easter Bunny. Me, you, and Brother Sam. Sam's going to hold the umbrella. You're going to be the Easter Bunny. And we're outside and it's pouring down rain in the middle of the pandemic on Easter. I said, we're going to go and we're going to do the very best that we can do for every single family in Parish Christian Center during this pandemic while it's raining on Easter. That's one of my favorite pictures. Here's Brother Sam. Here's the Easter Bunny. And here's Pastor Kelly. And Mitzi, we went around and gave every car a big old pack of Easter eggs and a little Easter story for the kids. Well, they began to acknowledge him less and less. And then their life started to crumble. And I remember going over there And they lived on one of the roughest streets in this town where you don't even need to go at night. And I said, Daddy, let's go visit these folks. Bring your gun. And let's go. There he goes. And I walked, and they lived in pretty much a shed. And we went in there. And right when I got in there to him, he just began to weep. And Dale, I got on my knees, and I took him by the hand, and I begged him to start acknowledging God. I begged him to. Because when you acknowledge him in all of your ways, there's a promise for you. And when you don't, there's an inevitability waiting for you. That's why the word says, now you choose this day. What do you want? Do you want a blessing or do you want a curse? Do you want life or do you want death? And see, when it comes to your prayer life, you got to still acknowledge him in all of your ways. What does that look like? Okay, I'm believing God for something. Lord God, in Jesus' name, I'm believing you for this. So God, my actions are going to align with what I'm believing you for. God, I'm not going to step out of line and do something that's going to contradict what I'm asking you for. Well, their lives are still messed up to this day. But they are still living and breathing. So that means there's still hope. Amen. When I go and minister at the jail, and when I get girls that have never met me before, I'll say, I'm Pastor Kelly. And they'll say, you know what? There's a man that talks about you, and his name is da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he says, if you ever get to a point where you're ready to surrender to God, call Pastor Kelly. Because she's going to love you no matter what you did. Guess what? That's what he tells to other people. Because Jill, that's what he still knows for himself. See, sometimes people are happy still screwing up. And I don't know a better way to put it. But when they get unhappy. See, the prodigal son, he had to get sick and tired of what he was doing to come back. And until you get sick and tired of that stuff, you're going to keep on doing it. But when people have tasted of the Lord and they see that he is good, they will never get that taste out of their mouth. Amen. Ever. Hallelujah. And they'll know where to go to when they're ready to get it right. The problem in the middle of that is in that time period, the devil can take people out of this life when they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Hold on in your prayer life. Hold on to God. Hold on to him. If it's taking longer, get your most comfortable pants on and say, you know what, this is going to take a little bit. I'm not going to spaz out about this. It's going to take a little bit. Obviously, Lord, you got me waiting. God, help me enjoy the wait. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 14 through 20. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. In your inner being. So many people are screwed up and messed up in their inner man. They have deep-rooted emotional trauma and problems. The church does not like to talk about stuff like that. The church doesn't like to talk about mental health. But it's a thing. And it's a big thing. He wants to strengthen you through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. What do we need to be rooted in and established? Love. Be rooted and established in love. Sometimes, how many of you can say you've ever prayed a dumb prayer? Most of us have. You can't pray for God to kill somebody and expect Him to answer that. Just going to tell you. I'm sorry if I bursted your bubble this morning, but God's not going to answer them prayers. Why? Well, that's not in His line of His will, first of all, but that would be going against His word, which says that you got to be rooted and established in love. This is the part of my prayer life that I'm not fully mature in, but I'm maturing in. Because how many of you get sick of people sometimes? Now, I hate to confess that to you, but there are times where I'll tell the people that are in my family, Casey, I'll say, look, we're going to have to stay in today. Because I don't need to be around anybody. I told that to Frank the other day. I said, I don't need to be in public today. Okay, babe? It won't be good for anybody. Dad'll say to me sometimes, what's wrong? And I'll say, I just don't need to be around people today. Wednesday. I don't know what was going on Wednesday. I think I was just kind of drained. He was saying something. I said, Dad, I don't mean to cut you short, but I've had all the people I can deal with today, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to call it a day. There's times where we get sick of people, and we pray some dumb prayers over those people or concerning those people. And when we pray those dumb prayers, we're going to be waiting forever because He ain't going to answer them. Your prayers need to be rooted and established in love. How many of you ever jumped the gun on something? Every time I have ever done that, I have regretted it. I have jumped the gun on people before. Oh, I'm just going to give them peace of my mind. I'm just going to tell them the truth. The word says that the truth will set them free. And that's what I'm going to do. Well, that hadn't always worked out. So I have started maturing in my prayer life, Jill, when it concerns other people. Because here's what I know. I don't understand everybody. But God understands every person that's on this earth. And so when I'm having a hard time loving somebody because they're doing irritating things, I'll pray, God, in the name of Jesus, please help so-and-so. God, I do not understand them, but God, You do. So, Lord, I ask that You'd help them. God, help me to not be aggravated with them. Because, Lord, I can't help them if I'm aggravated with them. Verse 18, so that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Once again, God wants to do more. The more that he wants to do in your life, you could never even measure it. I was sitting in a meeting with the city, and the architect said, "Pastor Kelly, what do you want to do in the Manna Center? Look here, I could straight up do a filibuster if I needed to." It's like the only word I remember from social studies in grade school was the word filibuster, because I'm a talker, and I could talk till the sun comes up and down and the cows come home. I said, "Well, Mr. Architect, let me just enlighten you." I went through the whole spiel, because any time you have a vision, well, the devil will try to plump talk you up out of it. Amen. And I tell God all the time, I say, "God, you know, none of this was ever my idea." I was giving blood the other day, and I wasn't planning on it. Somebody that I thought very highly of said, "Will you please come down here and give blood?" Ugh. I hate when people I like ask me to do things, because I'll do it. I was like, "Oh my God, of course. Yes, me and Frank will come down there. We'll give some blood." I sit down there, and I'm a weenie. I don't like to do that stuff. It really freaks me out. And I tell that girl, "You've got one shot, sister. You better make it count, because you're getting one chance and one chance only, and I'm going to look away." She gets me the first stick. I get done. I go sit and talk to all the girls that was in there, all the women. And this one chick comes in, and I don't know her real well, and she said, "How on earth does your church do all of that stuff?" I said, "Well, we don't do none of it. God does it." Amen. I said, "Not only does he do it, but he does every single bit of it." Amen. And I've learned to direct all of the glory to him. Because look here, Paul, where there's a person that will give God all the glory, God will just heap blessings on them. And so I told the architect, I said, "Look, this was never my idea." I said, "But let me tell you what God has done already in the food ministry." And I began to tell him. And I said, "I understand that things are very, very high right now with building. And what I'm asking you to do is be creative. Because, see, God has a vision for Logan County. And inside of that vision, God wants to feed people on a whole nother level that he's not been able to do." He said, "Well, in order to do that, I would have to go back and do all my drawings again." I said, "Well, I guess that's what we're paying you to do. Sharpen your pencil," as my daddy would say. "Get to drawing again. And get very creative." I said, "Because we have a God that's going to be very creative with the Manna Center." But see, Dad said something to me. I told him this morning, I said, "Dad, I want you to live a long time, because I'm not ready to let you go. But it don't matter if the Manna Center is here next year, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now. Do I think it's going to be that long? No. But look here, Jill, it's already there. It's already there. It's been there for years. So when you want to get all messed up and disheartened about things just because your natural eye can't see it, I'm asking you to get yourself renewed and restored. Because the devil comes to do three things: steal, kill, and destroy. He'd love to steal that vision right up out of your heart. Don't let him. Keep a hold of it. Wait for it. God don't need your help, but he does need your obedience. He needs you to be patient. He needs you to learn how to wait. And know that from the very first day that you've prayed prayers about whatever it is, he heard them. He heard them. Last place with me this morning, Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. And I am going to leave you with this morning. If you need to write it down, then write it down. This is a wonderful place to go to in the waiting. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. I'm going to read that one more time. Somebody really needs to get a hold of it. And like a sponge, you need to let this just begin to soak into you. Because the devil's tried to talk some of you out of what God wants to do in your life. Open yourself up right now. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. God knows what you need. He knows the end of it from the beginning. Be patient. Don't doubt that he's heard you. Y'all stand to your feet this morning. Sister Millie is going to preach tonight, and I'm very excited about it. Lord God, in Jesus' name, all over the place this morning, God, I thank you, Lord, that you've given us an insight, God, on what to do while we're waiting. And Lord, I thank you that you really have heard us from the very moment, God, that we've said those prayers. Lord, while we were saying them, God, you were listening. And God, you'll surely bring it to pass. And we thank you and we praise you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.